Father, we ask you again to grant to us insight, wisdom in your word. Thank you for clarity and appreciation of the truth found in Christ. We ask for fresh application as we give us fresh revelation. We behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, today, in this session, we will be putting to conclusion our teaching on faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, or faith in the gospel of Christ, wealth, material things, you know, things like that. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15, I want you to pay very good attention to this session. Very good means very good attention to this session, right? Study to show thyself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15. So that I have approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, chapter 3 and 16 already, or 15, pardon me, it says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now, Christ Jesus. Now, the word in Christ Jesus is a post-resurrection reality. Right, which I must mention that a couple of times. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We have known Christ after the flesh. Now we know him no more. In other words, we don't view Christ from a human point of view. We view him from the revelation of the Spirit. We view him from the revelation of the Spirit. That is, we see Christ from the revelation of the Spirit. Now, Luke's Gospel 24, 25, 27, Jesus says, O fools, to have heart to believe what the prophet has spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, upon them all the scriptures, the things, verse 27, concerning himself. Same thing, verse 44 to 46. So the fulfillment of things in Christ are in the post-resurrection reality of Jesus. It means they're still from death, burial, and most importantly, or more importantly, both, the resurrection of Christ. In John 16, 12 to 13, said, I have yet many things to say unto you, cannot bear them now. Happy when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. So, the things of Christ are revealed by the Spirit. So, the things of Christ are revealed by the Spirit. So, we know the realities of what is in Christ in the epistles. In other words, it's very disingenuous or very funny for you to go to the Old Testament, begin to look for things in the Old Testament, where we know that the reality is found in Christ. So in your study of God's Word, and I mentioned this last week, that a couple of folks who get involved in error, they get involved in error based on lack of understanding of the New Covenant, or the Old Covenant. A dear friend of mine was telling me how he was talking to a head of a Bible school. Now, this is not trying to put anybody down. It's just to explain. Now, he said, he had to sit with the fellow for hours to let him see what the old covenant is, what new covenant is. For example, the fellow said the old covenant is what God and Abraham caught, and the law or the Mosaic covenant is an outflow of that. That's not quite correct. The old covenant was with Israel, okay, and with Israel when they left Egypt. So he took a while to explain all that. You see, just that understanding will change almost every church subject you've ever preached. Just that understanding, it will change your entire view of God. Many people are atheists today because of the wrong impression of God given to them. You see, if Jesus is preached in his revelation, many people who call God all sorts of names will repent. So that understanding of the old covenant and the new covenant is so important that if you miss it, almost everything you believe will be wrong. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus could take a lot of time and explain the realities within the veil. There was a veil in their understanding, which he did. So now we're talking about material prosperity. A couple of folks say, well, what about this character, this character, and that character, and that. And I'm like, you go to it very well, and you see why is the new covenant this way? Why are the epistles this way? So that basic understanding, and I'll say this, that almost in the body of Christ today, the little I know, I'm young, 95% of the doctrinal problems we have is based on this lack of understanding. People still go to church to wash their feet. That looks odd. They still carry bottles of oil. People still call church podium altar. They still carry cross. People still, what else do you have? People still, they take water to the services. They still take Passover. Even non-Jews, they call it Holy Communion. They wouldn't have communion services today. Communion service. Old Testament service. The communion service is an Old Testament service. Celebrating the Paschal Lamb. You know, that's what it is. A lack of understanding. It doesn't matter whether it's been done by 1 million people. It doesn't make it true. What is true is what is written. And I think I said something, was it Wednesday? That you cannot, a text of scripture cannot mean what it never meant. Thank you. A text of scripture cannot mean what it never meant. Hallelujah. It can't mean what it never meant. You can't tell me what I mean. Say, I know what you mean. Mm-mm. I wrote what I meant. You just have to either believe what I meant or don't believe it. You can't change what I mean. Praise God. Still out there? Now, you know we're looking at material prosperity. If you were in the first service, we have some time. Praise God. You can walk. Go walk. No one is told to live a miracle financially. You're supposed to go do what? Work. Not just work. What was the work we described in the morning? Work hard and toil, sweat. In the new covenant, in Christ. I've heard a preacher say this on television that Paul did not walk in the covenant of prosperity. So why should I? That means it's not a covenant in Christ. Hallelujah. Covenant of prosperity. So there's a covenant of prosperity made in your bedroom. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. So, we'll safely birth our ship today. So we'll take another voyage next week. 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Remember that? That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. I want us to examine that. Uncertain riches, we said the word is from adelotis in the Greek, from adelos. And I took two scriptures to explain the word adelos, Luke's Gospel 11:44. But more importantly, 1 Corinthians 14:8. Please look there. 1 Corinthians 14:8. Why does he call it uncertain riches? He's not saying that when you have money in the account, it's not certain. No, it's certain. Just understand what he's saying. Now, notice this. Please look here. He uses the word rich three times so that you can understand why he gives an adjective. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. In fact, four times, but then three times really. That are rich in this world, firstly. Rich in this world. Okay, rich in this world. I mentioned that last week. Rich in the affairs of his life. That is, they are made rich by activity. They are made rich by things that have been done or not done, okay? That they've been in our mind, the trust in the same riches, okay? But in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and be rich in good works. So we have rich in good works, okay? And rich in this world. So he has two ways he defines rich. Rich in this world, rich in good works. Then he mentions uncertain riches. So, the word uncertain is an adjective that describes what? An adjective is what? Describes a... Okay. So, that this one describes this noun. He calls it uncertain. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 and 8 explains the word uncertain. Paul says, if you give a sound, okay? 1 Corinthians 14 8. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, we shall prepare him to the battle. That is undefined
sound. That it is undefined. It has no direction. No one can react to it. Undefined, or better still, unrecognized. Yet, the same writer now says, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. So, that means, riches are unrecognized, undefined, till you give it a definition. You will give it a definition. You are going to be the one to now give it a direction. For example, he'll tell you how. He says, he gives us all things which we do enjoy. And I mentioned the word parakeet to you. Ultimately, he gives us all things. That means he provides them. Okay, in other words, they're already in the earth. Okay, richly to enjoy. So, he says, just like 1 Corinthians 14:8. Look at that verse. And 7, before he uses the word adelos. He says, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is part? That is, there has to be a distinction. So likewise, you utter by the tongue, verse 9, what is to be understood? How, except you utter by the tongue, what is to be understood? How shall it be known what is spoken? For you have spoken in the air, you shall speak in the air. So, you will now define the kind of riches in your hand. That is, if you have money, At that point, it's not defined. It's uncertain. Now, you will now give it a definition. So, he writes to the rich. He says, you know what? Now that you have money, be rich in good works. Until you are rich in good works, it's what? Uncertain. It has no direction till you are rich in good work. We'll come to that later. He says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. What does it mean to enjoy? To lavish. Alright. Put your hands there. Come back to 1 Corinthians 10. We have some study this morning. 1 Corinthians 10. Remember, we're there earlier. He says in the 23, the earth is the Lord's in 26. And the fullness thereof. Now, the word Lord in the epistles is used for who? Jesus. Right? Come on. It's used for who? Jesus. Now, in your mind, when you hear of Lord, Lord means ownership or rulership. Correctly said. Someone who exercises authority. Excellent. Which is true. Curious. But Jesus' dominion is exercised in his sacrifice. So he begins to teach Christ and things. And he says, you have this stuff, okay? You have things in your possession. Then he says, or you have things that are set to be belonging to the idol. He says, now you already know it doesn't belong to an idol, it belongs to the Lord. He now says, you will now walk in love. In other words, you will hold things in your hands as a steward of the Lord. Because he says the earth is whose? Huh? The same way it doesn't belong to the idol, it doesn't belong to you. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. So, how am I serving the Lord with what belongs to who? What belongs to who? What belongs to who? How do I serve the Lord? I serve Him by love. That's why I won't touch what belongs to what they say belongs to an idol, even though I know it doesn't belong to an idol, for the conscience of another. In other words, a principle of life operates in me, where I consider others with things that are of this world. He says all things are lawful. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful. But all things do not edify. In other words, I begin to give purpose to things. Hallelujah. You know, in the first service we said, if you work for a living only for your needs, what are you? You are covetous. But if you work for a living for your needs and other people's needs, then you're walking in the spirit. Or better still, we say you're living in vanity if you're not doing that. Vanity is empty, an empty life. An empty life is a life that's lived only unto yourself. So we define that in the morning, and there are two kind of systems that always exist. That you can know in your mind that this is the Lord's, and then you act in the Word of God about it, and you can just say, well, it's mine. It's mine. And that's the system of this world. The man who is in Christ sees himself as a steward. The guy was saying yesterday in the sermon on parenting, I said, the first rule about parenting is that know that they are really not your children. They came from God. Praise God. In the sense that they are God's creatures. You know, not that they came from heaven or something, but they're God's creatures. So you know that, and you're a steward of this man. You see, you need to realize that really you own nothing in this world. That's a fact you either realize now or you realize at the very end. But one day you realize it. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a fact that you must know as you work and then you earn things, realize that you really own nothing. So that's why Paul says our work and our travel is to meet our needs and the needs of who? Others. That should define and refine how you think. Are you still out there? So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for 1 Timothy 6. So Paul gives two systems of thinking. The first system is you got money now. You got a lot of money in your account. A billionaire. $1 billion. A billionaire means nothing, but $1 billion. Looks more like it. $1 billion. 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 $1 billion. You know. Solomon said the rich man answers roughly. Yes?
Yes?
Two different kinds of men. So the first system says he's high-minded. So the minute you find yourself high-minded because of money, you're functioning in the world. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may accept or you may approve that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So Romans 12:2, you need to renew your mind. That is, you can have this world dominate how you handle things. And when that happens, it says you are high-minded. That's the word hupostelopronio. That's H-U-P-S-E. H-U-P-S-E-L-O-P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Now, it means you have pride. It's that the first system is you begin to value yourself based on the things that you own. Hallelujah. I don't know if you filled forms before and you had to maybe a bank form or you had to maybe you took a loan or you tried to declare your assets. Okay, that's a better one. You declared your assets and then you say, what is your net worth? We don't have to all do that, but I'm saying, if you've done it before, you wrote down your net worth. Then you sit down and say, how many houses do you own? You write it down. And they say, how many cars? Four in the garage. I have a Bentley. My house in Illinois. I have 4 horses, 16 lions, you know. They say, I valued myself. I am a millionaire. Sorry, millionaire. That's those guy, you know, that was those guy in my secondary school. I realized his name. He will have a lot of money at the beginning of the term. Then, when the money comes, he goes to the butcher, everybody follows him. We all know we just follow him. So you just say, take rice. Take this one. Take kokoro buns. You know kokoro buns? You know kokoro buns? Take kokoro buns. Take, you know, just take this, take this. Everybody goes. And we all eat off the guy. 1 week! You keep your own money, you go after Ariel. After 1 week, it happened 3 times. Successfully. You see that the occupant, and he's scratching his head. He's poor. So he's always reached your 2 weeks or 1. So I looked at him. And I gave him a nickname that stayed with him for the rest of school. Mnemonia. Say you are a mnemonia. You have money first week. And you are poor second. Always poor. And the funny thing is that most of us who benefited from a largesse never gave him anything. I know you carry us, I say, I've not opened my provision. Done that before? I've not opened it. You know, what does that mean? You've not opened it. I've not opened it. Sorry. He has opened his own. He launched it. You know. So there are two sisters. You begin to value yourself. She said, you now tell yourself, you have this, you have that. You now say, I am a millionaire. Now, I know you are pretending like you've never done this before, but in case you are about to do it, you'll say, I have 2 cars, 3 cars. Or better still, you earn this amount of money. Even some people like that, they get a job employment, very faithful person in the prayer group, faithful in membership class, but then you get a job, say 1 million, take home pay per month. Dressing allowance, 5 million per annum. Third allowance, 8 million per annum. A car, even in your village and surrounding villages, only one person has a car. Say, a car, a driver. And they say, a steward. Say, you have not collected them. You're still on the offer letter. He says, sign if you agree. Say, please sign for me. Agree for me. You know, you begin to say, my life has changed. I know you are changing. You are keeping a straight face. You don't want to smile. That's what Paul is saying. I mind it. You've not gotten it at all. But the fact that it's a substance of things open. Then you attend your zonal meeting. You, for the first time, you pocket in prayer meeting. But your tongues have changed. No longer that aggressive, spiritual bazooka. You just go, man, that's over, cancer. Bro, I want to share something with you. The prayer group leader is still praying. You are not praying well.
My prayer has been answered.
All my prayers. What happened? Yes, you found it. I share this testimony with you.
What testimony?
And now I have a car. I have a house. Yes. Praise the Lord. See what has happened? You are both functioning in the world. I mind it. The money is giving you value. Money should not be your means of valuing men. Jesus says, what of the man? Say, what can a man give in exchange of his own life? Not the whole world. In other words, if everything in the world is in an account and then your name is on it, it belongs to you. He said, it's not yet the value of a life. You must never use material things to value yourself. The minute that is happening to you, and the hubris of is happening to you, that means you are high-minded. You are high-minded. Hallelujah. You are high-minded. You are trusting in uncertain riches. You are high-minded. Hallelujah. You come into service, they tell you, brother, please, help me give, or let's say, sit down to the left. I'll be fine here. You know why you're talking like that? Because you have money. You are trusting in riches. Because you think that money is a defense. That money must be a reason why you must talk anyhow. That money must be why you talk roughly to anyone. It's a means why people won't get married. The guy comes and says, I was praying. And I sense she praying. Look at the person. Are you praying about me? He says, no, but I believe in my heart. In your heart. What do you do? I do the word. High mind. Praise the Lord. And many of these money prosperity preaching, they make you high mind. You are going somewhere. The Lord is saying right now, next level, next level. Not that next level, another car. Right? Vacation abroad. Another next level. Jet. You don't say, okay, assuming everything is in your pocket. Can it buy a soul? Who has ever, let's talk naturally. Has the rich been able to purchase death? Say, we just bought death. It's in their account. The rich are so afraid. Security. 8 bodyguards in one room. Say, who's, you take care of the window, you. You know, the rich places, they have big gates. Rich. Yes, am I right? Big gates. Security. Arm to the teeth. What are you afraid of? You don't want to lose the material thing. Because by the time you are gone, the thing is also gone. But no matter what you do, you cannot buy. You can't buy life. You can't buy death. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So that valuation you are giving to yourself is a lie. You cannot be valued with things. So, high-minded. Paul says, high-minded. Forbes magazine. That's it. Richest man. For example, if someone walks in this room and the guy wears just a maybe Galabia and pair of slippers. She says, please come. He just said, what do you really want? I said, come and help me. Okay, please wait. I'm busy. And so he said, that man, he owns MTN. And he owns, who's that? Which man? He just said, you said you were busy. Which man? He owns. Hey, is he the one? I've never seen before. So I was trying to say, I'm coming to meet you. Why do you act like that? Because your value system is materialistic. And Jesus Christ gave us life eternal so that we'll stop valuing things that way. Am I making any sense? I mind it. So we have a system like that. And you know the truth is, we were all brought up, most of us, not all of us, many of us were brought up that way. To value things money-wise. We valued schools, we valued clothes, we valued everything. But no one can value life. We value, well, how much is your phone? I say, why is your phone so expensive? I say, because it's so and so. 100,000. Say, hey, you just want to make calls. How can I get it? You know, the person is, you just want to, nothing else, you just want to have that thing so that people can look at you differently. Bring out your phone, you are somewhere. You are not calling anybody. Hello? Excuse me. Because you're worldly. You're worldly. You know, some guys will make you see their car. Nothing, they'll just say, excuse me, let me give you my card. Come. Guy says, can I wait? Come. Now bring the remote. What's going on? They just want to open. That's how it opens, you know. Yeah, go. Say, oh, and it's in my pocket too. But if the guy does not comment about your car, you will be offended. He just says, okay, thank you. And maybe the person leading worship. Lift your hands. You lift your hands. Proud person. Cannot even recognize the glory of God. But if you have said, wow, is that your car?
Yes, by the grace of God.
It's the second one, actually. Yeah, it's good, though.
Yeah, it's the power. The transmission is, solid.
It's not nothing. It's really nothing, but wonderful.
Thank God. This minister has blessed us. So.
Pastor is a good pastor. See what's happening in my life. I have a car. How can that be the testimony you have in the minister and pastor? You don't see those kind of useless testimonies here.
Your car is a function of your hard work. Go and enjoy it. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. So begin to look at things like that. Then, so what are brethren? They will see the car.
Who's what car is it?
What are you?
Who's your brother? Hey, that brother. See
you. Hey. Then the next lesson, brother. Brother John, how are you, sir? In a while, oh. How is everything? There's another brother Peter here. Sister, can you go? Later.
How are you, sir? It's good. You thank God for your life generally.
Why are you doing that? You are doing that because your valuation in life is based on things.
I mind.
Hallelujah. But the man that has control over it, look at this. He says, trust in uncertain riches. The word trust is elpizo in the Greek. E-L-P-I-Z-O. It means to expect. You are expecting your money to do something for you. Your money may not give you good health. Didn't give you happiness. I'm not saying absence of money is happiness. Sometimes it's worse. Sadness. Okay? But money should be taken as uncertain. You are the one that will define what it is. You can choose to use money to be a blessing. And you can You can choose to use money as something you depend upon. It's your choice. That's why it's called uncertain. It means nothing. That means on its own, money means nothing in Christ. It only begins to mean something when he says, you are willing, you are rich in good works. Then money now begins to mean something. Until you are rich in good works, it means nothing. He says rich in good works. So we have to do good. So we have, is that ready to distribute? We have two different systems. The first system is that you get money and then you begin to act based on that money. You now begin to value yourself. World. Then in Christ, you have that money. What does it do? It increases your good works. Let me see if you understand that. You understand what I just said now? The first system is you get more money, then begin to value yourself with the money. The second system, which is in Christ, is that you have more money, you are now richer. Or you are rich in good works. So, while the first one increases your status, the way you talk, the second one increases your giving. And the way you help others. Do you understand that? Is that very clear? Let me take it again. The first system is I have money. It's uncertain. If I have money, I can decide to be high-minded, first principle, from the world. If I have money, I can decide to be rich in good works, second principle, in Christ. Do you understand that? Let me see how you got that. Right. So, it's not being rich that is the problem. It is, are you rich and high-minded, or are you rich and rich in good works? Does that make sense? Let me take it again. Rich, high-minded, you have trust in it. Rich in good works, you have trust in the living God. Let me take it again. Rich and high-minded, you are trusting in riches. Rich and rich in good works, you are trusting in the living God. Let me take it again. Rich and high-minded, that means you are trusting in what? The riches. Rich and rich in good works, you are trusting in who? The living God. Let me see how that's clear. Okay. The minute money affects your character, then you are high-minded. Worldly. You don't change your department from ushering to welfare because you now have money. So I think I should join the welfare. Some guy told me, say, my ministry helps because he has money. My ministry now helps. He doesn't want to pray because his ministry now helps. So you have two systems. Praise God. I said, praise God. Now watch this. So this is the lesson, alright? So quickly, he says, rich in good works, willing to, ready to distribute. Now, you have two, this is the lesson in Mark 10. Go to Mark 10. Jesus told that guy, the rich, young, rich ruler, guy's young enough, age is on his side. He says, you know, the guy said, I've done these things from my youth. You know, Jesus, you should know. I've done this thing from my youth. I've kept all the commandments. Verse 20. And Jesus, okay, one thing you lack. Mark's Gospel 10:20. Go thy way, sell whatever you have. Eh? And give to the poor. Now, you don't say this is a good test if you don't have anything. Say, Lord, you can try me too. When all you have is 1K. No. Say, all you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. The Bible says he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He said he wanted eternal life. So really, did he want eternal life? No. And everybody said, wow. Jesus said in verse 23, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished as well. Jesus said, okay, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? He explained himself. That trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He couldn't imagine his life without those things. His life was determined by those things. He can't imagine he can't go to America for vacation. He cannot imagine that he cannot have a car. He cannot imagine that he can't live on the island. He cannot imagine that he doesn't have an air conditioner in his room. He cannot imagine it. That he cannot just eat whatever he likes. He can't imagine not having servants and then employees. He cannot imagine that, oh, I'm not the one, you know, wearing a $20,000 suit. He cannot imagine that he doesn't have an iPhone. He cannot imagine it. Ah! Give all these things away. He cannot imagine that just for pedicure, manicure, handicure, he's spending $1 million. He cannot imagine that his belt is not $1 million. He cannot imagine that he cannot do Brazilian and Ethiopian hair. He cannot, He can't. He cannot imagine his life without those things. But there's coming a time you won't have those things and only your life will be left. Hallelujah. He cannot imagine. And that is eternity. He cannot imagine it. He can't imagine me. That's why some people are sad when they lose their jobs. They break down. Because they value their lives by their salary. Break down. I can't imagine me. And I'll be eating food. Mama and Papa food. Me. I live a high level. First class. I take first class to Europe every summer. I can't imagine. Then they are sad. They are sad. Then they come to church and all you preach is ministering the Spirit. Old Testament, New Testament in Christ. Law and the prophets. What did we preach just last the other week? Law in Genesis. When is pastor going to address my problem? When is he going to address the issue? My real problem. The next week, reaching the world. He looks at all the songs. We cover the earth. Hey! He says, nobody is helping me. He cannot imagine. Me? I don't have credit. Again to call. Then he sees a flyer. Come. See? He can't imagine it. Hallelujah. His life consists in the things he owns. So by the time he doesn't have them, it changes his character. All the joy he's expressing is because he has salary. The minute the salary stops, say, glory! Rejoice and bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. He can't imagine it. Me? Oh my God. Then the brethren ask him, how are you, sis? We bless the Lord. How are you? It is well. But when a friend who sticks closer than a stamp, when that friend calls you, I heard you lost your job. Just say, I am finished. You now said what you really had on your heart. All that it is well is both well and borehole. You now said what was in your heart. I'm finished. My life is finished. How would you, a child of God, say that? Your life is not in your account. Your life is not in the car you drive. Your life is not in the, not wrong in driving good cars, but your life does not consist in those things. See, how hard is those who trust? It's easier, I say, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. And then they say, hey, who then can be saved? All of them in verse 26. He said, you know, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Praise the Lord. So much trust. Somebody is planning to travel abroad. Then he goes to the embassy. He's already praying. All the commitment he's doing in church is so that God will not have any problem with him. He said, first service, 7:30, is here. Pastor said, what are you doing here? You know, 5:30. No, 7:30. Anyone? You know, me and the Lord, I just love serving him. Then, Monday morning, he doesn't sleep. He observes a prayer chain. He's doing all that because of the visa interview. Then he gets there. He becomes so nice to everybody. He says, move. He jumps. He's so nice. Someone say, do you have a pen? Say, do you want to write it upon? I'll give you everything. Nice. Then the man says, what are you going to do? There to do. I'm sorry. You know how to do it? Just bring paper. Or if you don't know, you don't. Sir, read it. Sir, but why? There you go. All he has been doing, he just begins to walk. Walks down water carrying tea. Walking down via on third mainland. The babe he's copying. The babe said yes because he says he's traveling. So all his life is coming to an end. Then the zonal pastor begins to call him. He's pulling his switch off. What happened? Not rich, brother. So and so. Maybe he's praying. He has built his life on those things. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Paul says, I am independent of every circumstance. I have learned both to be in want and to have sufficiency. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That is, no matter the circumstance, I am independent of them. Then you are growing up. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's continue. Okay. So, the rich fool, Luke 12, not the rich fool too said, Saul, enjoy. What was it about the rich fool? His life wasn't what he had. Jesus, go to verse 26. Jesus didn't speak against riches. Jesus didn't say having riches means that you're not of God. He never said that. He said trusting in them. Acting because of them. Hallelujah. He says, ready to distribute. Look at that word. 1 Timothy 6:18. The word ready to distribute is just one word in the Greek. It's the word humatados. I'll spell it for you. Humetados. Humetados, sorry. Humetados. Just one word. It means you are not told to do it. Hallelujah. No one, he's not, you don't give because of a sermon. You are what? You are ready to do it. You don't give because you were preached unto. You don't give because someone tells you, brethren, you have to do so, so. No, you are rich in good works. Praise God. You are rich in good works. Praise God. Say, I'm rich. Okay, man, say, I'm rich in good works. I'm ready to distribute. And it says, willing to communicate. The word communicate is just one word. The same word, willing to communicate, is just one word. It's the word, from, you know, koinonia means to share. Alright? So you have koinonikos, that is K-O-I-N-O-N-I-K-O-S. It means you're ready to partner with others. As your company grows in profit, you are thinking, I should help that brother, I should help that sister, I should help those people. That is being rich in good works. That is, no one tells you, no one has to urge you, no one has to pick the phone and say, brother, no, it's just something that comes with it. So when you were going to make money, money was given a certain direction. You knew what you were going to make money for. You knew exactly what it was for. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You have how much? You earn how much? How much in your salary is for someone else? Not your kids alone. Someone else. How much you make and people take advantage of? And they have. You have 3 cars. Have you ever given a car away? I gave a car away in my life before I had my very first car. I gave it away. The very first house I was given, I gave it away. My very first car, I gave it away. Not that I had two, was the only one. Do you have that attitude? You know that you are a steward. Because at the end of life, rich and poor, we are all going to be empty. So whatever you have, you're a steward. You can't have it forever. This is the reality of things. You're a steward. See, I'm a steward of God's resources. Glory to God. Willing to communicate. Ready to distribute. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some guys cannot share. From university. Someone doesn't have a room. You can't share. Say, I don't squat. I don't squat. It's not right, man. It's not legal. That's when you know legal. It's not lawful. It's not lawful. It's not proper. It's not decent. It's not adequate. It's not spiritual. You are just a greedy human being. You can't share. You can't. Praise God. As in believers, church members of this church, not the body of Christ, of this church. When they want to give, they'll be frowning. You feel like, don't worry. Take. You know, someone said, can I make a phone call? Say, I don't have much credit. But you can call. When you see other brand there, you can use it. Stay there. Say, it's not going. Bring the number, let me try it for you. It's not going through. It's not picking. The same you. Someone will approach you. Bring your phone! You say, please don't do anything to me. Take it away. Plus the credit. Hallelujah. Many of us would rather lose money in a business venture than give someone. There is no businessman that does not lose money during the year. That's why it's called profit and loss. There will be losses. You rather lose than give. You are quiet. Just remain in that position. It's in Christ Jesus. You can't give. Some will hoard university. It's not money. They will hoard material. You want to be first. Your name is first in the book of life. Don't worry. See, there's this material. Hey, that the lecturer. Hey. That man is wicked. And you have it. Then you will pass. How did you make it? Hey, was a raven that brought a raven just brought the textbook. That's how I read it too. What kind of human being are you? Hallelujah. I was talking to some pastors one day. They were talking about, I said, all of us here were privileged. We came from backgrounds our parents could pay our fees. I said, I know people who were born in war zones. Are you any better? War zones. Never blame anyone who is not prosperous. Our stories are different. Are you there? Rather, you'll be of a help. You went to this school, say, but then I walked on, I practiced the principles of shut up. If you were born in southern Iraq and ISIS was in charge of the place, would you have principle? His principle of survival that you will know. Stop being stupid. That's why that prosperity gospel is nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's a fact today that the rich in the world, those who can survive in the world on their own, that on their own, the richest people in the world are not up to 1%. Not even close to that. It's a fact today in Nigeria. The poverty has grown by very astronomically. And yet, in the last few years, no church in the world gave like Nigerian church. That's where there's no money. Somebody asked a pastor in Lekki. He said, sir, with the giving we did, why is there a problem in this country? The man said, we principles, sir. We did everything he told us to do. And the pastor just bought a brand new Range Rover. That's the principle. Anyway, let's leave pastors alone. Let's face ourselves. Ephesians 4. 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. That means it's expected of believers that we should realize as we are working, we are giving. It's expected. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Let him lay in store as he prospers. Acts 2:33-35. Acts 4:35. Same thing. Believers were giving. Praise God. Why did Paul write this to Timothy? Go back to 1 Timothy 6. We're going to examine a couple of things here. He says in verse 5. 1 Timothy 6. Are you learning something? Look at this. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. 1 Timothy 6:5. Destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, pray for them. Huh? Withdraw. What does it mean by gain is godliness? Pay attention. The word godliness is usebia in the Greek. H-U-S-E-B-E-I-A. 15 times it's used. Just in 1st and 2nd Timothy, 9 times. Eusebia. 15 times, this is something Greek. You have referenced 15 times. Just in 1st and 2nd Timothy, it's used 9 times. It means towards God. to pay homage, to be towards God, referring to our service, our approach to God, and the things of God. He says, now, some people think what we are doing is gain, is for gain. The word gain, pay attention to this, is the word porismos, P-O-R-I-S-M-O-S. Porismos, it means to acquire, to meet needs. Actually, it means livelihood. Porismos is used for livelihood, what you do for a living, what you do to take care of your needs. He says there are some people, they think that they approach God, they come to church, they study the scriptures, they pray to meet their needs. He said, from such people, you withdraw. That's why they go to church. That's why they study. Then when you do a Bible study on Christ, they are bored. I'm telling you, you see, we trust the Lord in this country and all over Africa that the gospel of Christ will gain ground more. We will find out that some people have never been born again. They are going to churches just for livelihood. They suppose that godliness is to make a living. Though in this instance, he's talking to ministers who are using the ministry to make a living. He says, supposing is to make need to acquire things. You do not serve God to acquire things. You acquire things to serve God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me repeat myself. You don't serve God to acquire things. You don't need to serve God to acquire things. In fact, acquiring things and serving God are not the same. But you acquire things to do what? To serve God. See, I acquire things to serve God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Supposing that gain is godliness. Gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Contentment is the word sufficiency, or better still, independence. That is, you serve God independent of things. Godliness with contentment. You are independent. So, our contentment is our gain in godliness. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 4. Contentment means independence. Sufficient. I'm okay. I'm not looking for things. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned, oh my God, I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Now, Paul stayed here was he was in prison. Now, if I told you that 1 Corinthians 4, 11, 12, he didn't have a house. Paul didn't have a house. Paul didn't have a house. He said, we're laboring, we have no houses, no dwelling places. So, if he had real estate, or he bought some property in New York, or bought some stuff all over the world, I don't think he'll be in jail and not have money. That means he wasn't keeping an account somewhere. He wasn't doing treasury bills. You know, nothing wrong in that. I'm just telling you about Paul's life. Praise God. He was just walking and giving. 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 Living. That's what he was doing. So he said, look, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned something. I have learned. Oh my God, you learned this in Christ, that in whatsoever state I am, glory to God, whatever state I am, hallelujah, whatever state I am, look at this, I am to be content, I am to be independent, I know, hallelujah, let's take verse 12 together, some guys run from this. Let's come on, let's go. I know both. Say both. Say both. Say both. Life always has this both. Why are you afraid? Was your life in those things? Your car was missing. Or something happened to it. And your countenance dropped. And you don't have peace for 1 year. What was the car supposed to do for you? Tell us. Was it supposed to give you life? Hallelujah. You know what television they call good living? Big cars, big houses. Dead men live in those places too. Who have no life. Dead men. Who are walking in loss of the flesh and of the mind. Who are by nature children of wrath. So there's no life in those things. Look at this. Let's take it together, verse 12. I know, well, let's go. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere I know things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Oh, hallelujah. It's what faith does for us. I am instructed. In other words, don't say, you guys say, I'm instructed to suffer need. That would be glorifying poverty. He didn't say that. He said in both things. That means whether I have or I don't have, none of them dictates my life. Hallelujah. That is, none tells me what to do. None. This is what faith in Christ does. None. None. Praise God. Hallelujah. Both to abound and to suffer need. Come on, let's take verse 30 together. I can do all things. Now what are the all things? Woo! Glory to God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Is it out there? Whether I have or I don't have. I'm independent of those circumstances. My prayer life will not change because I lost money. I won't stop going for evangelism because I don't have a job. Are you still out there? And I'm not going for evangelism so that I can get a job. Hallelujah. I'm independent of both circumstances. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying? I've been instructed in Christ. Glory to His name. So we have that in our lives. Go back to 1 Timothy 6. Oh, are you learning something? Are we to work? Are we to earn money? Good money. But who dictates what the money does? I do. Hey, money, you can't rule me. You can't tell me how to talk. Come on. Hey, money, you can't tell me how to live. Hey, car, you can't tell me who to put inside. You can't tell me how to do things. No way. I will not act because of the kind of car I drive. Neither will I act because I don't have a car. Praise God. None of those things value me. I put value on them myself. Hallelujah. Look at this. 1 Timothy 6. You learning something? Look at this. Let's take verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I have great gain in Christ. I'm independent of things. Now let's take 7. Everybody come on. For we brought nothing to the world. It is what? Certain. We carry nothing out. Nothing in this world. It is certain. Paul says it is certain. Is it certain? So, look at how many times you have nothing. 2 times. Nothing plus nothing. Nothing. So I say, well, you know what? My tomb, make sure it is built with gold. Will you know? Will you be there? My dad told me how to do his burial. He was telling me, he showed me some documents, because he's a king, he was a king. So he was telling me, you know, yeah, and all that. So when he was through, I said, no problem, but you won't be around now. He said, you're fired again. I know, I'm just telling you. I said, you won't be. You better forget what happens. Praise God. What did you do for Jesus? Praise God. All the things you are acquiring. You know, somebody was, this place we are staying, it must have had many owners. Somebody must have chased someone out of this place. If I steal you off my property, I will shoot you. Then he dies. The children sell it to somebody else. Someone now owns it. That's how life is. It was never yours. Hallelujah. It was never yours. Praise God. Nothing and nothing. You came with what? Nobody was born with a Rolex wristwatch. And you go with what? Don't be quiet. It's true. Is it not true? Well, you admit it or you don't, it's true. Watch this. Having food and raiment. Let us therewith be content. Food and raiment. The word food, the word content is the different word, is akio. It means satisfied. Can you be satisfied with food and raiment? Ah, sir. Ah, sir. What about car? Sir, food. You know, Jesus in Matthew 6 repeated the same thing. Food and drink. Hallelujah. So I said, but what kind of raiment? It has to be expensive raiment, no matter what it is. I was in Singapore years back, and that one guy wanted to sell a pair of suits for us, myself and my partner, and he said each of them was $8,500. Kind of funny. He said, so we'll buy it, and then I said, if you put fire, I won't burn. My father said, if I wear it, I won't die. That was embarrassing. Hallelujah. You know, life is so fickle. I remember there was a jacket you bought me years back, and I was in law school, and everybody liked that jacket so well. They told me, I know this jacket, Pastor, this jacket must have been from the United Kingdom. I just smiled. lovely jacket. I wore it for years. But the point was, it was somewhere at Kuto. One Hausa man at the back of a signboard. The amount will make you feel ashamed of me. It's not a worthy amount at all. In fact, if someone should send you recharge card of that amount, you won't say thank you. But see how everyone is saying, I just say, that's how life is. You know, I could have sold that suit for a large amount of money. So people selling, no, the designer is not, there's nothing special. It's just men put value on it. And we're all chasing vanity. Isn't that true? And vanity. Alex Ferguson sold chewing gum for £23,000. I say, chewing gum, not in the wrapper, chewing gum from his mouth. Is there any problem? Did you say something? But really, that's vanity. What is Brazilian hair? For what? You know why? If they had told you the same kind of hair years ago, I said, what's that? But because everybody is now wearing it on their head, and it enters your mind. Tell your husband, you start padding. You have a padding. You pad. Housekeeping allowance. Just say, tomato is expensive. And it's really because you want to wear something on your head. If they put fire on it, will it not burn? It will burn. Praise God. And those are the kind of things we are working for. I must buy the latest. I must have the latest. I must see what is motivating you. The Bible says, he that has a love of the world in him, the love of the Father is not in him. Now see, what's the love of the world? Pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. What is the love of God? His love was that he gave himself for us. When you love God, you don't go for things. You go for things to be able to minister to others. But when you go for things, that is the love of this world. Do you understand that? You buy a brand new car. And you are feeling, I've arrived. The next year, and the car is 2016, but the next year it becomes old model. The world will put you on a rat race. You will never stop. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. What's the latest? You go and get it. Even the economy said human wants are uncertain. So you must draw a line. At what point is it enough? So that whatever comes on it becomes assistance for others. At what point would you want to stop buying cars? At what point would you want to stop owning houses? At what point will your shirt stop? How many shirts do you want to have at one point? You must have a limit. I'm not saying stop earning money. Don't get it wrong. But what are you keeping for yourself? There must be a limit. There must be an enough. Or else, the love of the world will enter your heart. I don't know which woman, Aquino, the wife, I think, is it Imelda Marcos? No, Imelda Marcos. She had 10,000 shoes. Even if you're an octopus, how would you have 10,000 shoes? I don't know any octopus that has 10,000 shoes. She had a warehouse. She had a staff. And what they were doing for a living was keeping her shoes. What are you doing for a living? I keep her shoes. Slaving human beings. You could have sold those shoes and made their life better. Praise God. At the end of the day, they sold those shoes off. Someone is boasting. I have this. A man of God boasting about things is a deluded man. He doesn't know his ministry. A man of God should not be found boasting about material things. He must be a deluded man. There's no such in the Bible. There's one last person we are going to crash very soon. No, it's the last man. There's one man, last man standing. Every other person, they are gentle. One man. Just wait. Don't be in a hurry. We are coming there. So Paul, verse 8. Be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. The word there, they want to be rich. Not rich in good works. Hallelujah. I can earn more money so that I'm what? Rich in good works. But I want to be rich all by myself, Paul says. And he's talking to a minister. He's saying, what happens to them? He said they fall into temptation and a snare. Foolish hearts and lust. We drown men in destruction and perdition. You begin to lie. You begin to make unnecessary commitments to people. Before you know it, you begin to like women. Because before you think you were holy, when you now have money in your account, now to look around. What can I not do? That's what money does. When you go to make money without a purpose, it will define your life. You must determine, what am I earning? Make up your mind now. What am I making money? What is the point? What's the purpose? Hallelujah. So that you do that, you won't marry a woman who is going to be the Alpha and Omega of your destruction. Yeah. A man of God was telling me of how his wife, anytime he gives, her countenance changes. I said, you didn't pray well, sir. Say, anytime he gives. Say, sir, anytime. Say, there was a couple who just got married. They didn't have a house to leave. And I said, let me. Say, why? Why? Did they not know they were going to get married? No. I said, no. Don't tolerate nonsense. She would justify it. Said, no. I said, well, you have married a cross. You carry. Just a cross. And you know you cannot separate, like we said yesterday.
You have to walk in love. It means that your giving must outstrip your living. You must give more than you live on. Do you do that? Do you give more than you spend for yourself? Now, I'm not talking about giving to the church. Get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's giving to the church, which is part of it. But helping others. There are some of you here, you have people you are paying their school fees. You don't have to be a billionaire. I started paying people school fees in the university. You should have people. When I entered the law school, the first thing I found out was those who could not pay their fees. I paid one person's full school fees, another person helped me half of it. University, I cannot count. People that will help them. Do this. Take this. Take that. And I was not a millionaire. So it's until I have. If you have 1 billion, hell will freeze over before you give anything. There will be a cold day in hell. You? The issue is you have a character problem. Money is ruling you. You will know if you will pay me 1,000 or if you have paid me 100 naira. 100 naira, you're already from. Someone say, can you help me buy, can you help me buy gala? Ah. But you eat gala. Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money. The word there is philaguria. Philaguria is philaguria. Philaguria. You see it in Luke's Gospel 16:14. And 2 Timothy 3:2. It means avarice. It's from the word philaguros. philaguros. Is an affection. Now, you can't say, it doesn't mean you should not love money. Is money not in your pocket? How can something in your pocket and you don't like it? What he's saying is this. Pay attention. Avarice. Avarice means you take pleasure in owning things. You derive life from it. Philagoria. So it begins to control you. Money can be in your pocket. Pay attention. But really is in your heart. The minute money is in your heart, you have the love of money. It must remain in your pocket. Something you control. So, whether it's with you or it's not with you. Because the love of money is not money in the account, it's what money does in your mind. High-minded, when you don't have it, how do you act? When you have it, how do you act? You don't have to be a rich man to have the love of money. In fact, many who have the love of money are not rich. They worship it. They worship people that have it. And so on and so forth. In this church. You know, some people think that everybody in this church are young people. It's always funny. It's because we do not celebrate too many things. We don't celebrate. In any way. Is that why these people, if you don't, it's not true. The reason why you don't see people show up is because they can't show it to anybody here. We don't do it. We don't address you by your title, chief. You're either a brother, you're a sister, or you're a pastor. We don't address you as Mrs. Something. No. We don't address you as doctor, lawyer, teacher, surveyor. That's when you hear you're a brother or sister in Christ. Praise God. We don't celebrate your social status. Glory to His name. The love of money. Avarice. Uncontrolled appetite. It is the root of all evil. How do I know I have avarice? Wait for this. You value things more than men. You value things more than men. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 12. They asked a man this question, and I was so ashamed about this miracle money nonsense that they say. That you found money. Of course, the money is always like 1,000, 10,000. Nothing significant for EFCC to go after you, but once insignificant. So it has to be relevant. So, they asked him, sir,
where does the money come from? Because you cannot reprint money from the mint. That would be illegal.
The man said, oh, glory to God. Thank you for that question.
He said, when there's air crash or car crash, the angels go in and quickly rescue the money. As he said that, members of the church were saying, yeah. I said, God, this is idol worship. Angels rescue money and left the men. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's avarice. It's avarice. That is the love of money. Let the man work miracles and raise Lazarus again after he had died since. It doesn't make any difference. It's a love of money. From such forces you withdraw. Don't listen to his teachings again. Even if he says he's preaching grace, the one everybody is preaching now. And that's the latest thing now. It was in fashion. Grace. I'm not a grace preacher. I know you know that by now. Luke's Gospel 12. Avarice is when you value things more than men. Avarice. You lost money and you have fellowship. You could not prepare for your fellowship meeting. I think we'll just pray today. Hold your hand, hold your hand. Thank God for our life generally. Why? Because of money! You value money more than men. Love of money will make you not take care of your family. Love of money. Luke's Gospel 12. Look at the rich fool. Look at what he said. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, verse 6 in Luke's Gospel 12. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I pulled down my barns and built greater. I mean, this is great. He's having more investments. I'll build greater. And there will I be, bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, can you imagine? Thou hast had much goods, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself, he is not rich toward God. Let's take verse 15 together. Take heed. Tell your neighbor, say, take heed. Say it again, take heed. Look at your neighbor in the eyes and say, take heed. And beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Stop valuing your life based on how much is in your account. You are not different from the rich fool. Your life is valued in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Irrespective of what you have or you don't have. When there's a love of money, you begin to esteem things more than the word of God. Esteem things more than life. Look at Matthew's Gospel 6. Jesus talked about it. Matthew's Gospel 6. Remember that? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. I've told you many times. Jesus never compared God to any other thing but money. Mammon. The word there is agape is from agape. It means to esteem. You esteem earthly things. Earthly things. It will lead to strange desires. A minister of the gospel, for example, he will begin to preach strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. I warned people years ago. And I see them today and I shudder. I said, the way you guys are going, you would preach the gospel of Jesus. I saw they were in a hurry. Young men had been in the ministry before them. I'd ministered to many of them. I said, you, the way you are going. There was one I had to call. Why are you guys doing this? Why are you doing this? They're bringing a minister to come, to call on the people. And they give him a target how much to raise. You heard Dr. Damina say it. Right? Most of you were there. So they will invite him for 4 days. They'll tell him the target. Then they will come on the pulpit and begin to use scripture, and innocently you will not know. These folks were in the university. And they were bringing a preacher. There was one guy they brought. The first day, the guy didn't hit the target. They had to complain to him. Ah, you didn't do the thing well. The guy said, don't worry, tomorrow I'll rev up. The next day, people dropped money. He went home, brought things. University. You will err from the faith. The minute we think money is all we need in ministry, we'll twist the gospel. Hallelujah. An example of a man like this in the Bible, who had a love of money, is Solomon. The bad part is that he has been preached to us as a good example, whereas he was a very bad example. And we're going to demystify him in a moment. Okay? No wonder. In Matthew's Gospel 6, recall I said, an example of a man who had the love of money in the Bible. A man who desired to be rich, and he pierced himself with many sorrows. An example is Solomon. King Solomon. Not Solomon Grundy. Born on Monday. Buried on Friday. This is the end of Solomon Grundy. No, the Solomon of the Bible. I was wondering, years back, I was wondering, why did Jesus compare Solomon to lilies? Why? That is sobbing now. Solomon. He says in verse 29, yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, even you mention Solomon, I was like, hey! Ha! Blessed man. Jesus was so direct. Please pay attention. He said, Solomon in all of his glory. Eh? Jesus included Solomon's account number. He included all his properties. He was not arrayed. So he didn't say he's not. So he said he's talking about his resurrection. No. Was not arrayed like one of these. What was he saying? He says, the lilies of the field, they don't, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And that would drive us to study, what was he talking about? Are you there? What was about Solomon? That the lilies of the field were better than him. Jesus said, he was toiling. Imagine, Jesus is saying Solomon was a hustler. I don't agree with Jesus. What about you? I don't think so. I think Jesus got it wrong. Maybe he's speaking figuratively. He's saying the lilies don't toil, they don't hustle. Say, but Solomon is not better, is not close to these guys. Eh? I don't agree with Jesus. Solomon. The great Solomon. The king of all kings, sorry. First Kings 3. So the next time anybody, when we are through with this, the next anybody use Solomon for you, you look at the person in the eye. Strong eye. Verse 5. Solomon said in a vision, in a dream, that you know by now that the revelation they had in the old covenant was by angels. I think that's clear for us. We don't have to go through that. That's what I give thee, verse 5. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of the heart with thee, thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Verse 7. Now, Lord, I made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. The servant is in the midst of thy people, which are chosen. Pay attention, though. Which thou hast chosen, the great people who cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Very lovely. So, he asks for wisdom. Okay?
to judge the people of God. Am I right? Good. The speech pleased the Lord. As Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life. Did thou have asked riches for thyself, nor life for the enemy? Thou hast asked for thyself in the time to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither was thee, well, after thee, all the any arise like unto thee. Verse 13, I have also given thee that which I have not asked, riches and honor, so there shall be not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now read 14 closely. Let's take 14 closely. Thou walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I lent thy days. So he heard all that. Now let's look at this man carefully. So historically, from 1 Kings and then 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's not much. It's very much. 1,000 he had. Now, under the law, in the dispensation, he lived in heavy impunity. Look at Deuteronomy 17:7. People that use this man as an example are only creating greed and covetousness. From the way he amassed women, you should know the kind of person he was. Just hold on. From the way he amassed women, he really amassed them. Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. Let's start from 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord shall choose. What among thy brethren thou shalt set a king over thee, thou may not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. For he shall not multiply, notice, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt, to the end that he shall multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turns not away. Neither shall he multiply to himself silver and gold. So there was an instruction for kings not to multiply wives or multiply silver and gold. Just pay attention to this. Now, let's look at the kind of person he was. You know, he prayed in a temple. Remember? Look at 1 Kings 7. He did not spend a dime on the temple. He didn't. Everything used to build the temple was from his dad. Solomon was not just a greedy man. He was never a giver. You see it now. Look at this. 1 Kings 7. Solomon, verse 51. Let's read it together. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, silver and the gold and vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 5:1. The things his father had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. It's not difficult. Look at 1 Chronicles 28. Who paid for that house? 1 Chronicles 28. We're going to read from verse 11 to 18. I'm not going to rush this because I want you to enter your understanding very well. Look at this. Verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, of the houses thereof, of the treasures thereof, of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner palace, and the palace of the mercy seat, the pattern of all they had by the Spirit. Okay? All the chambers round about, all the treasures of the house of God, and the treasures of the dedicated things. And also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, the work of the service, the house of the Lord, and all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight, things of gold, for instruments of all the manner of service, silver for all the manner of silver by weight, and all instruments of every kind of service. Even the weight of the candlesticks of the gold. David provided everything. Till verse 18. Are you following this? Look at chapter 29. David, verse 1, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom God alone has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man before the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things of made of gold. So he, again, verse 2, he was the one that prepared it. From verse 2 to 8. So who provided funds for the house? Huh? Who? Very good. He provided the funds to build the house. Not Solomon. Okay? 1 Kings 10. We go to these verses rather than see an example of a man driven by avarice and greed. We are looking for money. 1 Kings 10. 14 and 15. Now the weight of gold. Pay attention to this. How did he make money? The weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year. 600, 3 scores and 6 talents of gold. He was taxing the people. In a small nation, this is much. People were paying their taxes. From a small nation. Remember, what did Moses say? Moses said he must not multiply gold. Solomon was rich and the people were poor. He was taxing them. They were paying him tributes. He was a lover of money. He did not use his wealth for the nation. He took money from them for pleasure. Let's see what he did with money. How many wives did he have again? Huh? Okay. You need to tell me one place you saw Solomon give anybody anything. Look for it. Chapter 11. Forget about the Proverbs. Chapter 11. Look at this. Verse 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went fully after the, not went after the Lord, Moses' father. Then Solomon built an high place for who? He never used his money for the temple. What did he use it for? Chemosh. Abomination of Moab. In the hill that is before Jerusalem and for Molech, the abomination of children of Ammon. She was building shrines with the money. Look at verse 8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives. He was building things for them, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. He used his money for women. He was a lover of money. He built this stuff for his wives. In verse 1, chapter 11, he loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zenodites, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon claimed unto this in love 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Mention one wife of his. He was a lover of money, and he was not a giver at all. He used money on himself. Look at this. This will amaze you. I've read verse 7 to you. Okay. Now, again, recall, what was the wisdom given to him for? Let's read it again. To what? Let's read it. No, you have to be careful so that we won't get it wrong. The wisdom to judge amongst the people of God. Right? What did he use it for? Chapter 10. Verse 23. Solomon, king, exceeding all the kings of the earth, for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his presents, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, a rate year by year. And he gathered together chariots and what? Huh? He had thousands of... What was the king not supposed to do? Was not supposed to have? He did. He went back to Egypt, whom he bestowed in the city for chariots with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. So he had people come. Look at verse 28 together. 28. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. And the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. A chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver and an horse for 150. And so for all the kings of Egypt and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. Did he use this wisdom? He used the wisdom to garner money. People were coming to him. He prayed that people should come to the temple to seek for God. Which of those kings came to the temple? None. They came to him. And he used that to what? To amass wealth. Are you following this? Look at verse 18 to 21. Chapter 10, verse 18 to 21. Moreover, look at how we lived. Look at how we lived. Let me start from 16. And the King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of gold went to one target. He made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. He put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king, verse 18, 1 Kings 10, made a great throne of ivory. He was just living large. Overlaid it with the best gold. The throne has 6 steps. What is wrong with this guy? And the top of the throne was round behind. And there was stayed inside of, and the two lions stood beside the side. I mean, that's a big guy. This guy's African, man. And 12 lions stood there on one side. He was just living large. Look at verse 21. Let's take 21 together. And where couple the drinking vessels, all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None of the silver. It was nothing counted off in the days of. So, you know, there was a time he even wasted some. He was living large. He had erred from the faith. Taxing people, using God's will, rather than judging the people who are using to make money. Wait, you hear something. He went after strange women. He was an idol worshiper. And he was still rich. He never was poor. He was worshiping idols and he was still what? Very rich. Anybody who uses Solomon for you as an example wants you to be greedy. He was one of the worst kings in Israel. Hold on. Hold on. He lost strange women. 1,000. That means his harem of women was a congregation. Mega church. 1,000. Listen, for each of them, he built a house. For each of them, he built temples. And his people were poor. He was using them. He was taxing them. And he never stopped having money. He enslaved an entire nation. And he became wealthy. Look at 1 Kings 12. Let's see his testimony. When he died. They sent, verse 3, please pay attention to this very well. And called, because people, you see, people twist the Bible to present what they want you to read. And they sent, 1 Kings 12, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam, all the congregation of Israel came to Rehoboam. Rehoboam is his son. Look at verse 4. Oh yeah, let's read it together.
Who is his father? Solomon. Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, thou, okay, make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. What kind of person was he? He was a tyrannical leader. He was taxing them, they were serving him, and were impoverished. Let me say, are you following? I know you are, some of you are shocked. He's an example of a lover of money. Are you following this? He made money from what? From enslaving a nation. He's like a typical Nigerian politician. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Wait. And then he said to them, depart for 3 days and come again. And the people departed. Now when they came, look at what he told them. Jeroboam consulted with the old men and stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived. And he said, how do I advise and answer these people? They spoke unto him, if thou will be a servant unto these people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, that they will be their servants forever. But he forsook the servant. They said, look, why can't you serve them? Obviously, his father did not serve them. His father served his appetites. He taxed them. He made money from the people. And he became the richest man ever. A small nation like that. Look at this. Then he did not listen to them. He now called the young men in verse 8. And said, his guys, his campus guys, who grew up with him, you understand? He said, what do you think? What counsel give you that we may answer these people? He said, make the yoke which your father put on us lighter. The young men said, I beg. My father, tell them, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter unto us, that thou may say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay thee with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. Are you following? Are you in verse 11? My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions. What kind of person was Solomon? He was a wicked ruler. He enslaved the nation. They had a yoke of poverty on them. He was wealthy. Did you see he never built for his people? He built for his women. What a testimony. Did he use the wisdom for them? After hearing the two women fighting over children, which one did he hear again? He was not making money. And he tested that thing and he walked. No. And he began to heal the sick. Then he started doing miracle money. So see, of course you have jets. Yes. Of course you have buildings all over the world. And you're a lover of money. That's why you say Solomon in all of his glory is not really like this one. This one didn't hustle. He hustled, dominated people, collected seed faith, prophet offering, taxed them. You are getting poor, he said, let's use their faith. He was building houses for his women, an idol worshiper. He entertained strangers more than Jews. He was more with presidents. He would put their picture in his church office. He says, I sat with Obama. That was what he was doing. He was using the anointing to make merchandise. Are you there? That was when he left, they were happy. Say, you have mercy on us. Your father dealt with us. Do you understand? Please. You know, lighten our body. Reduce the tithe. Reduce our first fruit. We don't want to give covenant free again. Allow us to stop sowing Isaac seeds. Please, let us keep our Isaac. Don't let us go to Mount Moriah. We beg you. You see, we want to stop connecting with the grace or common seed. He said, He asked the people who were with fire. He said, look, serve these people. Serve them. He said, He talked to the guys who are 21st century preachers. Who are trying to twist the Bible better. He said, you know, tell them that if my father collected 10% and doing 30,
That was his son. Solomon was a bad example in the Bible. An idol worshiper.
A man, the temple, did you see him back in that temple? He didn't go back there. He was building his own temples. Why are you all looking at me? Did I write it? Those who use Solomon for you, they will hide this part. What is glorious in using gold to drink? And his people were suffering. He was a tyrannical ruler. He was a typical African ruler who would be so wealthy, and his people were under slavery. I don't want that kind of wealth. That's why Jesus said, Solomon in all of his glory. He didn't call it the glory of God. It was his glory. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 3. He used the wisdom of God. He used it well. Verse 16 to 18. First used it well. After that, he moved on to other things. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Kings 9. He made bonds with all the nations. No war. 1 Kings 9:22. 1 Kings 9:24. He had a pact with Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave him his daughter. He was just using, was doing all sort of transactions. That was how he made money. All sort of transactions. I know Israel, his father handed over a world class army. So he used all that to leverage. So people say, don't fight us. Don't come and take our territory. Take my daughter. Take money. I'll bring it. He never used that money for the people. He didn't go to war with them. They gave them, they'll give him daughter and give him wealth, and he kept it. That's what he was doing. So, who were the people visiting him? Queen of Sheba. Whether he married her or not, I don't know. I mean, if we say, even if we are not telling the truth, I would say, maybe they had sexual relationship. We were not bad-mouthing him. It won't be like we are defaming his character. Even though it's not true, but he will be shocked. He may not even know. Because he has 1,000. How can you have 1,000? You won't all know their names. K1, K2, K3. It became gain. That was why he had to write, everything is vanity. He had to write that. At the end of his life, he saw the vanity of all he pursued. Why would it, you know, if Solomon was a giver, he would call it vanity. Are you following what I'm saying? If he was not a giver, that was why it was vanity. All the steps, everything. Imagine, he paved his staircase with gold. Cup! And where's the gold coming from? Was taxing people. Go and look at the value of what they were paying as tax in a small nation. That was wicked. And his son said, I'm going to double it. Don't just pay false food in January, in June, and in December. For the glory of the latter. Are you learning something? Are you sure? Ecclesiastes 5. Solomon will stop being your hero, right? He didn't say amen. 5:8. Look at what it says. If you see the oppression of the poor, and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in the province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regards, and he will be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loves abundance with the increase. This is also vanity. He's talking to himself. He has oppressed people. So he's talking to himself. Are you learning something? So,
He had to come to that conclusion about his own life. He had hustled, he had labored, he had cheated, he had lied, he had worshipped idols, he had made all the money, and he said everything is worth. So if you are looking for an example of a lover of money in the Bible, who is he? Say it loud.
Solomon.
King Solomon was a lover of money. King Solomon was a tyrannical ruler. He was not ever a good example of a king. He never defended his people. He oppressed them. He used them. He built houses for his women, not for his people. He used the wisdom of God rather than judge amongst his people. He used it to amass wealth. The love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. They've heard from the faith. He heard from the call. He heard from his purpose. Are you following? Because, you know, kings, remember, look at 1 Samuel. Samuel warned Israel about kings. Say, when you have kings, 1 Samuel. Just quickly, let's see this. 1 Samuel, chapter 9. He said, we want a king like the world. He now told them. Samuel said, in verse 11, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. 1 Samuel 8, 11. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen. Some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captain over thousands, captain over fifties. He will set them to hear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instrument of war and instrument of his chariot. He will take your daughters to be the confectioners and to be cooks, to be bakers. He will take your fields, take your vineyard, your holy vineyard, and the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and all of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servant. You shall cry out in the day because of your king which you shall have chosen, and Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, people refuse to obey. He says, God give us a king. So using these people as examples of wealthy men is total nonsense. Hallelujah. Who built the temple? Whose money built the temple? Which temple did Solomon build?
Shrine.
Did he take care of the people? Did he? What was he getting the money from the people? Taxing them. Did he lead any king to the Lord?
No.
Did he make them know God? No. He just used them to amass. Typical of the love of money. He was not a giver. He was a lover of pleasure. A bad example. Hallelujah. Matthew 20, 28. Closing gradually. Matthew 22. I hope you are learning something here. Matthew 20, 28. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To have no love of money. The love of God dominates my mind. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 20, 28. Jesus said, he differentiates us and this kind of kings. In verse 25, he says, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they are they that are great exercise authority over them. Verse 26, it shall not be so among you. Whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for men. We serve. Hallelujah. We serve. We serve. Wealth says nothing about you. It's what you do with wealth that says everything about you. Adam was a rich man. He had everything. And he disobeyed God. Cain and Abel, his kids. Noah. They had industry. Adam definitely worked. The children were working. They had families. Noah as well. Abraham. Jacob. Isaac. Praise God.
If I'm going to learn anything from Abraham, I'll learn from what he did in Genesis 13. I'll close here. Where he talked to his nephew, Lot, when there was strife in their business. He said, let there be no strife among us, for we are brethren. That's what I can take from his life. Not how he made money. Not how he made money. Making money is not learned from God's word. Hallelujah. It's learned in life. It's what to do with money that we learn from God's word. And what kind of money we should not make. I want to ask you as we close. What controls you? What? Honesty? Does honesty control you? Are you honest? Does sufficiency control you? And so on and so forth. What controls you? You need to break the hold of money over your life. 1 Timothy 6. What was Paul's counsel to break the hold of money? A very bad master, but a wonderful servant. 1 Timothy 6. He taught this way. In verse 17, do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us all things richly, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Do good. Be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. What do you do? Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You break the hold of money over your life. Whether you have or you don't have. Money doesn't control you. You control it. Money goes to everybody. Believer, unbeliever. Some by family rights and inheritance. Some by the kind of work they do. Some by the kind of nations they live in. Some just about anything. Some fraudulently. Some not fraudulently. Some didn't do the fraud, but the person that did the fraud gave it to them. But then, as a believer, what controls us? What breaks a hold over us is how we control money. We work to be a blessing. To take care of ourselves, our families, therefore. Definitely. We work to support others. We don't see ourselves as servants, as masters because of what we have. We see ourselves as servants. Because of what we have. As I close this session, I want you to think about it. The man in the Bible was given wisdom. He used that wisdom and the wealth from it to oppress others. He used that wisdom to oppress people. He used the wealth to serve the devil. He used the wealth for pleasure. The kind of phones he was using, the kind of houses he was living. That was what his life was about. Thank goodness at the end of his life he did admit that everything he suffered for or slaved for was vanity. And what a testimony he had. An oppressor. Oppressor of the weak. A tax master. A wicked man. Shrewd. Stingy. Covetous and greedy. Such that we must not find in the kingdom of God. If you have money, serve the Lord. If you don't have money, serve the Lord. Let money never dictate who you are and the kind of character that you have. And as you work, you go back to the office tomorrow morning, remember it's not about you anymore. It's about you and the body of Christ. It's about you and those that don't have. It's about you and the gospel of Christ. Then one day, when you will stand before Jesus, just like everybody will in judgment. Naked you came, naked you return. But you will have something in eternity to hold on to. Things you have built, things you have contributed towards that are eternally in value. There will be no cars anymore. There will be no houses to live in. There will be no jets to drive. There will be nobody cheering you on. There will be no Facebook to make a man, to make mouth of what you have. There will be no one to value your clothes or your perfumes. You will now stand before the one who owned everything. What will you say?
Let's bow our heads and pray. Would you call them vanity now? Or you wait till experiences show you they are vain? Pray about yourself. Pray about yourself. How do you treat material things? Do material things make you fight people? Create division in the home, in the church? Do material things make you treat others badly? Speak roughly to people? Do material things make you act otherwise? If you act like that, that means you are in bondage of things. Do you walk in liberty? To own and then to give. There's nothing in this earth that belongs to the devil. It belongs to the Lord. And we'll treat it that way. We'll use it for His glory. We'll use it for His honor. We'll take care of ourselves because we belong to Him too. We'll take care of our families. We'll take care of others all over the world. We'll not be the rich fool. We'll not be like Solomon. No, we'll not be like Solomon. We'll not be like the rich fool. We'll not be like the young rich ruler. We'll be rich in good works. We'll be rich in good works. We'll not be enslaved by money. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship Him.